Thank you to Untuckit for supporting Last Podcast. A button-down shirt over some jeans is a classic look. Look at any single picture of me. And plus, a button-up shirt is nice because it's physically easier to put on than a t-shirt even, and people think that you're dressed up. But if you like to wear them untucked like I do, because when I tuck them in, I look like a giant egg. They can look long, baggy, they get all wrinkled at the ends. Now, you ever wonder why traditional button-ups look like Henry Winkler's penis? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untucked shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuckit is the brand you've been looking for. Short gentlemen, look at me. See the changes I've had to make to my shirts. It's the original untucked shirt. A modern solution to an old problem with no tucking or tailoring required. I have to go to a man once a month to go and have him slightly lift my shirts so I don't look like a toddler with no pants on. No matter your size or shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. And I mean it. I think you guys already know this about me, but sometimes it's hard to get clothes to fit properly. Thanks, Untuckit, for mentioning it. Yeah, I know, I got an odd size. But I'm not alone. I've seen our fans. A lot of us struggle with getting the right fit, all right, which is why I love Untuckit. They have more than 50 fit combinations, so Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, big, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. And I love the variety the Untuckit has, both online and their brick-and-mortar stores. Which you go, and the people are very friendly. Sure, you got your standard white, blue, and you got your gingham, if you want that kind of thing, if you're going to a North Carolina wedding. But they also have a variety of high-quality fabrics to choose from and a variety of sleeve lengths, because I like rolling up my sleeves, too. And you can get that kind of tropical look, because, you know, we're all looking for. We're looking for vacation daddy 24/7, right? So that you can feel relaxed, even though everything's on fire. I grabbed a couple of their lightweight and wrinkle-resistant linen button-downs and just in time for summer, and I was very impressed with the quality and the fit. It's nice and breezy. Try it on in person at one of Untuckit's 50 stores or go to Untuckit.com to get it started. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. You can save 20% on your first order by using my code LEFT at checkout. That's Untuckit.com, promo code LEFT.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I wish you guys could hear our warm-up. I wish you guys could hear just be a fly in the wall us three boys hashing it out in a room.
You guys just say fuck, shit, piss, and clap. What are you talking about? What is the warm-up?
That's our warm-up.
I know, so now they heard it.
They jump off into the show. They just don't know. No, they don't hear it. They don't hear it. It gets cut off before the show begins.
For those that haven't heard it, they go, fuck, shit, piss, and then they clap, and somehow this is the most contentious we are as a group when it comes to the intro. For some reason, this is the only time there's ever been a fight.
Because Henry refuses to say it with the rhythm.
We're not getting into this.
There's a time difference. There's a lag in a Skype, so it doesn't match up a lot of the time.
No, it'll totally also match up. All you have to do is say it in a rhythm. One,
also,
two.
Also, apparently, yeah, you're a fucking drummer, okay?
He is a
this
drummer.
This is what you do. This is what you do. You think in rhythms. You think in syncopations. All right. I'm Polish, and I have no musical talent. I think in emotions.
That's what they say about the Polish. They're full of emotions.
Yes.
All right. We are. This is the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben Kissel with Marcus Barks.
Hello.
And Henry Zebrowski. This is a show that we're going to call Are relaxed. We are relaxed. We're relaxed.
Here,
program.
You want to hear a sound? You know what the sound is?
Oh my God! Don't keep your pants on.
That's me taking off my belt.
I know, but no one can see you. But Marcus and I, and we don't want to see it again.
Can you hear the leather slide?
Oh God.
Yeah, no belt zone, baby.
No belt zone, indeed. Relaxation has occurred, and of course, we also have to mention. You know what happened, Marcus?
What?
A couple of years, about 35 years ago, there was a bald, fat boy born, and that boy looks the same today as he did then. Beautiful Henry Zebrowski, happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
You are a wonderful friend, and we're so happy your mother just squeeze
you out. Oh, Henry Toulmes!
Everything grew except my penis.
Cool.
That's, yeah. Well, there you go. There you have it.
Yeah, welcome to the welcome to the second half of your 30s when the existential dread really starts to set in.
I don't feel like there's nothing negative about my age that I feel. I feel like in our 30s, this is sort of the new peak, right? Our 20s, your 20s are kind of wasted on being 20.
Well, you're
because you don't know what you're doing at all.
Well, you're building the steps. That's where you got to build. You know, we don't come from money. We got no nepotism here.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have to give our parents money now.
yeah, isn't that a fun new thing about 35?
But
where it's stuff like my parents did, not that they never believed in me, but they definitely at some they had a lot of being like, well, we'll see when he moves home. Like that was kind of the mentality that was kind of that what started when I started doing comedy, but now it's definitely like. It's like, oh, Henry Thomas, I couldn't help but notice the last podcast on the left was number 5 on the iTunes comedy charts. And I was like, how do you even know how to find that? Like, how do you know, like what that even means? Yeah, you know, like, technically, it means nothing. You know, it's about, like, sudden activity, but also then you get bumped out by random YouTubers that do one episode and let it rock for a fucking month. And then she had the magical realization, be like, we need help getting a new car. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, hey, here number comes the 5. Bill. Nothing to sneeze at, you know? No, absolutely. Happy birthday, Henry Zebrowski. And your parents, they are going to love the new pool you're buying for them. Mr. Clark Griswold over here.
I have a screwdriver on the desk?
I do.
Like, next to me. And how it could really slide right behind the eyeball. So you could just fucking pop it out so it flops on your list, on your lips like it's a fucking big sack of nuts.
Yeah, there it is. Henry Zebrowski did have a very sharp object to his eyeball right there. Yeah. We're happy he didn't pluck out his eye.
Very happy.
Very happy. So this episode, what do we got today? We got some fun little stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marcus did something. You want to hear what Marcus did, Henry?
Let me guess. Was it hours of work?
No, he went on vacation.
I did.
What?
He did a vacation.
Yeah.
He went on a vacation, and of course he went to the most diverse place on the planet, Iceland.
It's more diverse than you might think.
Really?
Yeah.
They have horses and people. I saw pictures of both.
How is it so diverse? Do people hide in the lava rocks?
No, they don't hide in the lava rocks. It's just diverse. There are more than just white people around. They're white people, majority. Absolutely. But
yeah.
It is a somewhat diverse place, more diverse than you might think.
Also, Henry, how would people hiding in the lava rocks make it more diverse? There's no, that doesn't make any.
I feel like that's how they hide without being seen for a while. Like, that's how they could sneak into the country of people from Portugal.
Oh.
They go in there, which Portugal, I don't really understand the difference between Spanish, Portuguese, but I know it's beautiful. And I know there's a lot of octopus, but I don't know anything else. I don't know why it sounds different. But they can hide in the little rocks
because
they're small.
But in Iceland,
I love it.
Me and Carolina went to the Museum of Icelandic Sorcery and Witchcraft up in Hulmivik, and I learned quite a bit about Icelandic sorcery. So we're going to be talking about Icelandic sorcery and witch hunts later on in the show. And it is surprisingly different from mainland European sorcery and witch hunts. We'll get into the whole thing.
Okay, very cool.
I want to address, apparently... So I've got a lot of messages saying, number one, Marcus, again, the best work in the business.
We're
the hardest working podcast in the business, and it's because of Marcus Parks. Marcus Parks is the gangly mermaid on the front of our pirate ship.
Ooh, all right.
Just cutting through the ice, right? But apparently we got some of the French pronunciations in the Devils of Loudon. Incorrect.
Yeah, of course we
which
did.
I don't know how. Because you're a native from French Queens, speaker. Because
he's from Rochester, Texas. You're from Queens, and I'm from frickin' Wisconsin.
Yeah, I knew I got all of them wrong. I don't have time to go take an intensive course in French pronunciation.
Well, you can
maybe
just YouTube
if
it.
You took. Yeah, you could.
I tried. I totally tried.
I don't know.
I absolutely did try. Like, I looked up things online and, like, looked at the YouTube pronunciations and seeing, like, how things could be and how close I could get to it. But I can't learn how to speak French in a fucking week.
All right.
Get better at it. Get better at it.
Henry,
you know what
the
problem is, too? Honestly, is that there's somewhere around 2008 where... When YouTube was like really starting to kick, because we know the guys that created the fake pronunciation guide, like YouTube channel. And I was like, I remember during that time period, people just would, for fucking lulz, would put fake pronunciation videos onto YouTube. So even as you're looking at it, half it's fucking fake to begin with. And then you realize, like, oh, the internet has always been fake. The only thing I can trust is the very center of my mind.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that's completely and utterly genius. Because then if you put the fake pronunciation up on YouTube and then someone pronounce it the way that you pronounce it, then you laugh. Because then you're like, they mispronounced it because they listened to us.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
It's like you planted a joke seed that sprouted into a joke plant.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I tried my best on the pronunciation.
Oh, my God.
But it's just like, you know, there's only so much that I can learn in a single week, and learning a different language, unfortunately, and learning different pronunciations, unfortunately, is not one of those things that I can learn.
I think you nailed it.
You, dog meat, to me, you're perfect.
Thank you.
You had me at hello.
Oh.
At how do you say hello in French? Oui?
No, it's yes. It's bonjour.
Bonjour.
Even I know it's bonjour.
Bonjour.
It's from Beauty and the Beast. That's how I know all my French. It's from Beauty and the Beast. So maybe it's a good point. Because this is a relaxed episode, this is probably a good way to bring this up. Is number one, I think with these relaxed episodes, let's say we can even call them, we can call them relaxed fit.
Yeah.
Episodes.
Yeah.
Like the
sure.
Levi's, like 989s.
Yeah.
Where it's just essentially, it's essentially a skirt with a little like patch at the bottom connecting the leg holes.
I'm wearing my old Navies right now, and I don't know what happened, but I'm still a size 38, and I know for a fact I've gained weight. They stretch. They stretch now so much. Old Navy is on brand. They know who's buying their products.
Nice.
And they make me feel good.
Nice. Well, we'll get back to Israel Keys next week. But yeah, this is just a relaxed breather episode.
All right, but number one, if you got questions you want us to answer, send them to sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. I think this would be a good opportunity, maybe, if people are curious about things that we do or how we do them, or I guess our personal lives, or you're just like, Henry, how do you keep the sex alive in a marriage? And I tell you, what you do is you just you grub for it.
Well, there you
gimme,
go.
Gimme. I'm like, if you want those kind of suggestions, we could do that. And also, there's a good time to say, Salt Lake City, we're coming for you. Go buy those tickets.
Yeah.
Buy those tickets in Salt Lake City. Cannot wait to go hang out with you guys.
Yeah, come on down from Provo.
Come on down from Provo, if you can. Bring your Yukon down from
Bring
Provo.
Bring your Yukon down.
All right, everyone. Well, let's get to the first story here. Let's talk about people... cryptids. Let's do cryptids first.
Sure.
Now, this is a story that's near and dear to my heart. Obviously, I am part of the Yeti clan. And this is breaking news all the way from the beautiful land of India, which is another place that we should go at some point, at the very least a party. So, evidently...
I don't know if you go to India to party.
Oh, though. I've heard India is one of the best places to party in the whole world.
I'd love to go to India.
From who?
The whole place. Dubai.
Are you hanging out with sheiks?
Dubai is not in India.
No, not Dubai. No, whatever. Oh, my God. Was that the United Arab Emirates? No, I'm thinking, what's the place in India? The place to go party?
Delhi? I don't know.
Millions of places in India.
I don't freaking know. Never
Bombay?
Mind. Let's go with Bombay. I've heard India's a good place to party. My brother was there with his boyfriend. They had a great time. They treated him like he was a god because, of course, he's huge. But nonetheless,
he's very tall.
He's very tall. So the Indian Army claims it found Yeti footprints in Nepal. And, of course, you know, Henry, the world is a little skeptical about this. But you
Everybody's got something to fucking say. Everybody's got a roast of this news, which I understand, because they hate... It's like what the UFO disclosure that we were talking about earlier this week. As soon as it fucking comes out, as soon as immediately, like, the party line snaps right into place of let's make fun of these people because there's no possible way anything outside of our very limited imaginations could be real.
I will say this. Don't make fun of the Indian Army. They will mess you up, man. They have many, many years, many millennia of war, and they wear fun hats.
Are they a fun hat country?
I think they're a fun hat country. I'm fairly certain.
They also got nukes.
Yes. Well, that's
a whole different that's a top hat thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, they got nukes.
They got nukes. Saving the peace, as a matter of fact, the nukes over there. Mm. It's the first time they've ever been safe. So this is the breaking news. Now, Henry, you saw this army, they were on a mountaineering expedition, and they stumbled upon mysterious footprints in Nepal. Now, Henry, you actually have an authentic Yeti footprint in your apartment. You look at it every day. You know exactly what footprints of the Yeti look like.
I now have two.
You have two of them. Okay.
I now have two. And the big thing about them is they've got to have the ridges. They only know that it's a legit footprint if it's got the ridges.
Okay.
You have to see what I like to professionally call the titties of the feet. Where it has to have the front lumps that if you were looking at the foot from in the front from the bottom of it towards you and it had little nipples on there, you'd get horny for it.
Oh,
if that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Right? If that's your lifestyle. But apparently, so the Indian Army, they discovered as they were going through a mountaineering expedition, as Kissel said, they found prints measuring 32 inches by 15 inches.
Okay.
They're full-on footprints. They got pictures of them. They were found by the Mount Makalu base camp on April 9th.
So when you look at these footprints, Henry, what comes to mind? Is this, because obviously, immediately the New York Times, they have an article out being like, they say they found footprints of a Yeti, but it's most definitely just a bear. They're being cynical. They're mocking the Indian Army. Good luck.
They are.
32 inches by 15 inches, Henry. What do you think? Seems a little too big to be a bear to me.
Well, I'm looking at these pictures right now, and they are very, very interesting. They're big boys. Whatever these footprints are, it's big. 32 by 15. I guess it's like, how big do Indian bears get?
Well, you can just say bears. I think you can just say bears.
Because it goes by region, right?
Okay.
Because they're here. The bears family of India. You got the Himalayan black bear. They reach a length of 5 to 6 feet, right?
Okay.
So that's not going to make a 32-inch by 15-inch footprint.
Mm-mm.
The brown bear. Right? Look at this. This is also, that is a small bear. And then a bear called the sloth bear. These are the bears of the Himalayas. Sloth bear is also a tiny ass bear. So, you're looking at these bears. If by the evidence of these are the bears that are possibly on the Himalayan mountains, none of these are going to make a 32 by 15 inch footprint. And never mind, it's got the ridges. Well, and I do feel that the Indian Army, why would they go all the way fucking out of their way to send in these footprints to their scientists to verify what the animal's going to be if it's just a fucking bear? I think they know what bears are.
Okay.
Well, what the New York Times article says about, you know, the bear thing is that the 32 inches may come from a mama bear going up front, and baby bears tend to hop behind in the footprints.
The New York Times is why we are at where we are today. The building should be burned down. That's my opinion.
I disagree vehemently. I disagree.
I guess we will agree to disagree.
Disagree.
What are you, a part of the Weather Underground now, Henry? What's going on? It's an act of domestic terrorism.
I just think that all media has been lying to us, and they should all double check themselves. You're going to say Yeti's fake? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
35 years young today.
But look at this. What I like, I'm going to fucking satanistically fucking twist this shit, where one of their researchers, a man by the name of a molecular biologist, Ross Barnett, he said the quote, which to him, I imagine it is snide and making fun of us, but I'm actually going to flip it and say that he's correct, where he says, you can't kill a legend with anything as mundane as facts. And you're like, yeah, you can't. You can't come with the fucking legend, because if you can go for the king, don't fucking miss.
Absolutely. Now I'm thinking about the movie Legend. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good one. But now the interesting thing about these Yeti tracks is there seems as if there's just one. So there was a lot of speculation. Maybe it's a one-legged Yeti. Perhaps this is a Yeti on a pogo stick and it kind of was having a difficult time pogoing. Why just
no,
the
there
one?
Are several, there are several prints. They sent one in. If you look at the track of prints, it is several prints.
Well, I'm seeing a little bit of a different piece of information here, but
I'm looking at the picture.
I believe you. I believe you. And of course, I'm looking at the article from the Washington Post because you know what, Marcus? Democracy dies in the dark.
That's what my subscription says.
This is an article about the Yeti footprints in Nepal. Without the Washington Post, what is freedom?
You know? I do like the Washington Post. Have we talked about this earlier this week? And I like the fact that it's a legit newspaper, yes.
All right. So Yeti footprints have been found in India. I'm assuming that cryptozoologists are going to be fighting about this vigorously for the next 10 to 15 years. But you know what? It's going to keep them alive.
Yeah.
And then the next time we go to Comic-Con, coming up here in July, we'll be in San Diego. We'll be able to run into the cryptozoologist that scammed Henry into buying a Yeti footprint once again. And you know what Henry's going to do? Buy another one.
Oh, no. That was not...
There's no scam. Because I put my belief in it, and it's fun for us to have in the house. And it's a nice conversation piece, because people go like, is that really a Bigfoot footprint? And you go like, get out of my house.
Oh, no, the Bigfoot fake footprint guy cannot afford a table at San Diego Comic-Con. That was at Salt Lake City.
Was Salt Lake City.
And if you'd like to come out and see us at Salt Lake City, come on out. We're coming back this summer.
Come on out. It's going to be a good show. I think it is going to be a good show. And you can get out from your homes. And we have a lot of freaky fans out in fucking Salt Lake City. So you want to all get your bodies together so you can all writhe together and hopefully go home and squirt into each other.
Well, maybe if it's a match. If it's a match. And of course, we have had a lot of people fall in love from our show. We've had a couple of divorces caused by our show. But I think overall, we've had more people find love than lose love.
Net gain.
Look, our friend Amira, also I want to say this, our friend Amira just sent me this thing. I wish that we could listen to it on air and just like literally not do our show and just play the show. It is, I didn't know, Art Bell did a 3-hour interview with Merle Haggard.
Oh. Yes, I heard about that, and I must hear these two old men just spit peanut shells out of their teeth as they ramble. I really would like to hear that. You know, with Merle Haggard,
they're talking truths, man. They're spinning yawns.
I know, but Merle, what was the famous song from Michigan there, the tune that he had where he's
from Michigan, or are you talking Okie from Muskogee?
Okie from Muskogee.
Yeah, yeah, it's from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. He said that ruined his career because people took him literally on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was just trying to be satirical and make fun of the people of the time.
Oh, yeah, the hag's too smart for him.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's how it is. You can't be, that's the problem with satire. It's defeated if you think it's real.
Yeah, well, you can't be a square in outlaw country.
Yeah.
Not allowed. I mean, David Allan Coe was sleeping out of a hearse.
Yes.
And he was one of the more craziest ones.
Well, he was also the whiniest one.
Well, they're all... Yeah, that is the one thing.
It's very interesting opinion. It's true. Because Marcus pointed that out. I never thought of David Allan Coe as sort of like he feels bad for himself. And then you listen to all of his songs, you're like, oh, wow, this is all about him being like bitter and... Like, he's, like, mad.
Yeah,
he wrote everything in the back of a hearse. He wrote all of his songs parked in a Nashville street in a hearse.
No, a lot of David Allan Coe's songs are just him being whiny and insecure.
Yes, and then you have the racism. There are problems. He's a problematic character. But I'm just saying, Waylon was never whiny.
No.
You know,
absolutely not, man.
Johnny.
Waylon's still my favorite. Waylon's my favorite of the whole group.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And David Allan Coe, it's whiny, it's insecure, and it's just name dropping constantly. Well, I mean, for fuck's sake, Waylon, Willie, and me, that's just him talking about hanging out with his more famous friends.
Yes.
Hey, man, wait till you have I start my country career with just with the first song just being, I used DiCaprio's bathroom once. And it was nice. Like, I will do that. I will use this.
The amount of times that you have name dropped Leonardo DiCaprio is actually amazing, considering you met him for 38 minutes.
You know, we did spend months together, but it's all I have. I also was in, a room with Bobby De Niro several times, who told me, I told you, gave me my biggest compliment I've ever received. I did a scene with him, and he just looked at me and went, you're good. That's it.
That's it.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
That's
he's
amazing.
Fucking dead now, man. I can't believe it. So sad.
No, Robert De Niro isn't dead.
What? He's still alive?
Yes, he's doing great.
What is this, fucking Easter?
All right, enough of this. Enough of this artist talk. That's for page 7, okay? Jackie will do a whole segment on Outlaw Country. I'm sure she loves it. I don't know.
When is page 7 going to have a drunk uncle takeover?
All I know
is... just going to be you and me. We should cover page 7, where it's just me and Kissel legitimately... hammered, where we go, we get some whiskey, and you just hear Waylon in the background of us being like, yeah, man could be misunderstood. Say it every once in a while. You hear puffs of cigar.
Yeah. It is always funny. The person who, the man who would be like, yes, men are misunderstood, are always the easiest men to understand. Yes, because it's always just like, yes, man, no one understands me. I just like pretzels. I like beer. No one gets it.
Super.
No one gets it. Like, everyone gets it. You like carbs. You're a carb guy. We got it.
Live from your grave.
It's time for spring cleaning, and Quip's got an easy way to start. You gotta brush them teeth. In just 2 minutes of brushing, twice a day, you can help pave the way to a healthier mouth and your mind. Because the dirt in your teeth works its way up to your brain. And now the whole family can brush with Quip. The newest addition to the Quip lineup is a kid's brush. It's the same as the OG Quip, with a 2-minute timer and guiding pulses. Just size down for smaller mouths. The Quip's got kid-friendly features like a small brush head, watermelon anti-cavity toothpaste, and rubber grip handles in colors little ones love, like onyx and gunmetal gray. Kids love that. And if you got kids, they know they always copy mom and dad. No matter what it is they're doing, they're always watching you. So you can't be a hypocrite. All right? You can't hide your sins around your children. So kids are inspired to brush better and more often with oral care that looks and feels like the products you use by watching daddy brush. But sometimes you're like, hey, get out of the bathroom because now daddy's got to do a downstairs brush. And kids are proud to use Quip. And you're going to love Quip too. I certainly do. I use it. The 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides. Make sure I give a proper deep clean. No matter how sleepy I am, I go deeper and deeper, deeper, deeper and deeper. And I love the multi-use cover that I can use as a stand, mount to my bathroom mirror, or slide over the bristles when I'm on the go. You know, when I'm brushing my teeth in traffic, which I don't recommend, but again, if you're crunched for time, it works with Quip. I'm telling you, if you travel for work as much as I do, you need a Quip. There's no clunky chargers, no tangled wires, no standing bases to forget at a hotel. I slide the mount over my Quip. Like a sniper rifle. I toss it in my carry-on and I'm good to go. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why I love Quip and why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/lastpod right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/lastpod.
Live from your grave.
With stress and anxiety, many people can often feel exhausted during the day, but then when it's time to go to bed, they just can't fall asleep, right? They just stay awake, and they look at your partner who's peacefully asleep, and you wonder, why can't I be there? Why can't I be asleep? And then they go into the other room. They go into the computer room, and they turn on their laptop at night. You know what happens to those people? They turn into the cannibal cop, all right? If worry is affecting your days and nights, it's probably also affecting your overall health. That's what they keep saying. Stress is going to kill you. But that's why we're partnering with Calm, the number one app to help you reduce your anxiety and stress and help you sleep better. It's not just a jug of chloroform. More than 40 million people around the world have downloaded it. If you head to calm.com/left, you'll get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes guided meditations on issues like anxiety, stress, how to destroy your enemies, how to set fire to the government. And they include a brand new meditation each day. There are also sleep stories, which are bedtime stories for adults designed to help you relax. And it's all stuff like... you know that woman, Brittany, at the office who keeps taking your lunch? Imagine her getting stuck in the elevator. Head to the magical lavender fields of southern France with Stephen Fry. And he talks about his favorite sauces and about the time he got gout. And you'll go right to sleep. Or explore the moonlit jungles of Africa with Leona Lewis. Or the macaroni and cheese hills of Pontiac, Wisconsin with Deborah Harrington. And she'll talk about how disappointed she is with her sons. They even have soothing music, stuff like oh hey yo yo, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Wow, yo. Right now, Last Podcast on the Left listeners get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/left. That's calm.com/left. Get unlimited access to all of Calm's content today at calm.com/left. Get calm. Stop stressing.
Live from your grave.
But speaking of having a little bit of beer, maybe some pretzels, mm-hmm. Henry, Marcus on vacation in Iceland.
Yeah.
Let's hear all about this experience that you had with witchcraft and sorcery.
What I love is that Marcus went on vacation and still managed to do work. Like, you still managed to absorb information and come back. Now, how did Carolina, she goes with you willingly.
Of
right?
course.
Like,
no, she loves this. She loves this stuff just as much as I do.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So what's the story? So you land in Iceland. How do you end up at this museum? And what is this presentation you're about to lay on our faces?
Well, we landed in Reykjavik, but the Icelandic Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft is up in Hulmivik, which is in the Westfjords, which is about 3.5 hours north of Reykjavik. So we had to rent a car and drive all the way up, like drive through mountains, drive on cliffs, almost died like 3 or 4 times driving. Driving through that dangerous fucking country, it was amazing.
When you were driving, was it one of those like 3-wheeled cars like they used to? I saw in like the old National Lampoon's European Vacation called like the Snart Looper.
It gets 3 hectares to the rod.
All right,
no, what kind of car did you drive?
It was
Iceland?
A Subaru. They have weird kind of cars that like there was one car called like a T4 Cactus.
Okay.
And another one's like called like a Dustin Destin. It was very strange. But yeah, drove a Subaru up there.
Is it opposite ends of the road?
No, it's not. It's pretty much the same as driving in America, but all the signs are in different languages. It feels like you're driving in a dream.
Ooh. Cool.
Yeah, or like a video game.
I think it's called jet lag.
Yeah. Well, it's only like 5 hours ahead. It's not too bad at all.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, but it was pretty fantastic. So we drove up to the Icelandic Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft, which I recommend so much for anybody who's going to Iceland, because when you're up there in Hólmavík, like in the Westfjords, it is a place where like sorcery feels real. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like that these people actually, like you can feel the sorcery in the air, that people once believed in sorcery with all of their hearts.
Cool.
Now they still take it pretty vaguely seriously, right? Like I know a long time ago we covered things about the Hildefic and all this kind of shit, but did you glean anything while over there that they still do those practices? Because I know that they used to do construction. If they did construction in Reykjavik or various places around Iceland, they'd have to ask the Hildefic for permission in order to build.
Well, at one point, they were going to build a highway through what was a fairy mound, but then decided after a fair amount of accidents, which might have been caused more by nervous superstition than actual Hildefolk, but they decided to, you know, forego the project. They decided to abandon it.
What do you mean fairy mound? What's going on here?
It's a mound where it's like a little mound where fairies live.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a fairy home.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, don't destroy that.
But the cool thing about Iceland and specifically like Icelandic sorcery, it's like with European sorcery, it feels made up. And by made up, I mean, it feels like that they just sort of like it came from witch trials, people just speaking stream of consciousness. It feels like complete and total nonsense. Because as we know, like a lot of European mainland European witchcraft, it was a scapegoat type of thing. I mean, it was a lot of people that were acting groovy. They were wanting to explore the limits of their sexuality and explore the limits of humanity and end up getting burned down for it.
And basically all of the evidence of witchcraft that was used at various trials and all of the witness testimony about the supposed witchcraft that people were either accusing people of or were accused of were then those kind of pieces of information. Those were the things that were compiled into things like the Malleus Maleficarum, where they built it all by all of the lies that everybody else was saying about the real beliefs that people may or may not have been doing, whether or not you truly were a pagan or you were a druid. So they would take these things and they would twist it in order to kind of like amalgamated into a book where they could eventually use it to fucking hammer the witches with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And of course, when Marcus mentions pushing their limits of sexuality. You know what it is? You know what it stops with? Butt stuff. As soon as they say, oh, that's the limit.
That's it.
I'm pretty
say,
sure that's
why they
it.
Say it's a fucking limit when all of their tortures involve sticking things up your fucking ass and spreading it.
I don't know.
But the difference with Icelandic sorcery is that it was a man in a frozen hut on the coast huddled over a pile of whale teeth, scratching runes into each one and believing in it wholeheartedly.
That's awesome.
Like, it is truly metal.
What is he, what's he scratching into these whale teeth?
Runes.
What's a rune?
A rune is a magical symbol that holds power. Different runes hold different powers used for different spells and different rituals.
Ah, you know what it's like? Rummy Cube. Much like Rummy Cube.
I want to be mad, but you're correct. Yeah. But technically it calls, you know, the runic alphabet is also called Futhark. It's a writing system, and they actually don't know what the fucking true origins of runes are. Mm-hmm. They say they believe it's somewhere from the 3rd century to the 16th century that it might have been invented. So, it's a big guess.
It's a hell of a window.
Well, while I was at the Sorcery Museum, they have a wonderful guidebook, and you know, I'm going to go through a couple of things that they covered at the Sorcery Museum, but what I'm going to be talking about is only a tiny fraction of what you can learn if you actually go there. And if you go there, there might be a chance of experiencing an earthquake, because when we were in the Sorcery Museum, we were up on the second floor learning all about an old Icelandic wizard, and the entire building shook.
Cool.
The entire building vibrated. It was so fucking cool.
All right.
But the region where the Sorcery Museum is called Strandir. Pronunciation.
It's fine.
Doing my best.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I feel like you're closer with these ones because at least you have hung out with you've hung out with Ragnar quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm better with Germanic languages than Romantic languages.
Okay.
Yeah. Das ist gut. But yes, Strandir is known. It's known as the land of the cunning sorcerer. This is, and it is reflected in this ditty from one of the neighboring countries. Quote. The hero fell on his head, his limbs in pain. It is unwise to wrestle with the sorcerers of Strandir.
Yeah, because you get all dirty.
I guess so. He fell down like a marathoner finishing the race there. Mm-hmm. Not good.
Can you imagine what it smells like to be inside the Strandir's hut? And they're all with the rotten shark and him, because like all his pubes all dreaded and all just covered in whale teeth oil.
I don't know.
Strandir is not a man. Strandir is a region.
Oh.
Well, I'm the same.
Interesting.
Being inside the mall of Strandir. Are you going there? What's the fucking Hot Topic like there? Come on, guys. Let's go. Come on.
I bet you it smells
a barrel.
I bet you it doesn't smell that bad. It's very cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Here in New York City, we're going through our transition from cold into warm, which is also the transition from not smelling so bad to smelling like rotten fish and toenails.
Mom? Is that you, Mom?
Yeah.
Are we talking about, because that's the beginning of every call with my mom. It's been like, oh, what temperature is it in Los Angeles? Yeah. Well, it's 85 here. It's going to be 80 throughout the week. It's going to rain a little bit. And then, oh, Henry Thomas, you would believe. There's a new heron. Oh, my birdie came and I fed it hot dogs. I fed it hot dogs all day.
I cannot imagine a more boring conversation than someone from Florida talking to somebody in Los Angeles, California about the weather. How long, at least in Wisconsin, when you mention the weather, there is something to talk about.
Yeah.
Things have to be addressed.
My uncle died.
Snowstorm, huh?
Hey, Ben. You want to know how to make yourself invisible?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. Yeah.
All right. Here's how you do it, according to Icelandic sorcery.
Okay.
Collect 3 drops of blood from the index finger of your left hand, 3 from the ring finger of your right hand, 2 from your right nipple, and 1 from your left nipple. Mix the blood with 6 drops of blood from the heart of a living raven and melt it with the raven's brain and pieces of a human stomach. Carve the sign on the lignite with magnetic steel, which has been hardened 3 times in human blood. Then, using that lignite, using that little stone, one can become invisible.
Well, ooh, wouldn't you know it, I actually just, like, almost like a cooking show, I just whipped that up myself, and I just ingested it, and now I'm taking off my clothes. No one can see me do what I'm doing.
Oh,
right
no,
now.
We can't see oh, it, no. Kizzle. No, we can see it. It's Harry Potter and the Pervert's Rock. To be invisible is really just about masturbating at people.
Yeah.
In your estimation, in your version of things.
I think...
What would you use being invisible for?
I guess
try to figure it out without just saying jerking off. Because you know what the problem is that you'd have to at least jerk off once.
No, but
to get it out of your system, so you can stop thinking about it like that.
But is your ejaculate, to use the scientific term, mm-hmm, also invisible?
I don't think so.
You would have
that's
to.
That's the funnest game of all.
So then you're just.
And it just looks like a fucking. It's just fucking weird ectoplasm. And they think it's the 18th century and they're like, oh, is it Houdini? And they don't know it's me. Just fucking with my 2 tablespoons of semens.
But the thing,
just waiting for them.
When you're invisible, mm-hmm, nowadays, they got all the. They got the heat sensors, mm-hmm, as we learned with the prisoner escape a couple of years ago here upstate New York.
That's right. Right, that's right. I forgot about that prison break. That was awesome. I was in Toronto, and I remember that awesome. They were like coming for Toronto, and all of Canada was like battening down for the 2 people running from prison.
Yeah, I think what was it, Richard Sweat or something like that?
Richard Sweat.
And
yeah,
there's another dude. I don't think being invisible sounds that fun, though, honestly, because you still have your physical form, so you're still getting bumped into all the time. I mean, no one really knows what they're hitting.
No, it's like having a sketch show. No, being invisible is like having a sketch show on Netflix where you produce it and it goes out and you're like, hey, I work really hard on this and nobody notices. And it's like you never did it.
Live from your grave.
Hey, guys, Mother's Day is just around the corner and the perfect gift for mom is already on your phone. If your mom is anything like my mother, she would love to get a framed photo of a special family member. Oh, God, Henry Thomas. This is just... I remember when we got bread. Oh, do you remember when we went to Tarpon Springs and we went to the spice store? That's where Framebridge comes in. You guys have heard me talk about Framebridge before, so you know they make it super easy and affordable to custom frame your favorite things, from print and posters to the photos on your phone. It only takes a few minutes to order. Just upload your photo and order by Sunday, May 5th. For guaranteed free delivery in time for Mother's Day. So you can hear your mom go, oh, it's too easy. Just pop over to framebridge.com and upload your photo. Be careful which photo you choose, because once it's out the door, it's going to mom. Or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item online in any frame style. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. They have some good, like, nice home and country ones. They have good goth ones for our listeners. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece straight to you. Or they can deliver to mom in time for Mother's Day when you place your order by Sunday, May 5th. You send a picture of your real biological mother and she's like, oh God. Instead of the hundreds you pay at traditional framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. It's true. It's very, very, very expensive to frame. So this is a good deal. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code LEFT. You know, it's just so easy. Just, you got to think about what to give to your mom. And if photos are incredible, because no matter what, they go, this is just the simply, that this is the best gift you could have given me, besides the memories themselves. But sometimes they do want you to put in a new pool. Order a custom gift for any mom in your life in minutes. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code LEFT, and you'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code LEFT, framebridge.com, promo code L-E-F-T.
Live from your grave.
But listen to this about the witch trials in Iceland. That there were 170 witch trials in Iceland after the Reformation in 1550. 20 men and 1 woman were burnt at the stake for being a witch. That's the difference between Iceland and other European countries. And really, you know, a lot of the rest of the world is that the vast majority of people in Iceland accused of witchcraft were men.
Interesting, but it also, but do they all get executed like we do? Like, was it back in the day where basically if you're accused, you are essentially guilty?
No.
Absolutely not. No, there was out of the 20 men. Okay, out of the 170 people accused of witchcraft, 20 men and one woman were burnt at the stake. One in every four of the accused was flogged, and sometimes they flogged them just in case.
Oh, you have just in case.
You got to. You got to. I've you seen bought all these whips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to use them.
And a quarter of them were able to prove their innocence.
Now, how did they prove their innocence? Because in the U.S., what did we do here? Where they said if they would throw them in a goddamn river or something with a bunch of rocks around their ankles, and they would say if they drown, they're not a witch, and if they come up, they are a witch, so then they hang them anyway.
We would make them guilty.
Yes, exactly.
In Iceland, if you could get 12 friends to vouch that you were a good dude, most of the time you'd get off.
12?
Oh, yeah,
man. That's a lot of friends. Damn,
that's a lot of friends to get all show up to help you.
Yeah, especially
how many times, how many mass emails I sent about moving.
What are we?
And
are
no
we...
one wanted to come help you move. You know what I mean? Can you imagine having to send a mass email being like, "Hey, will you please come to court and tell these people I'm not a witch?" Because you'd have a bunch of people being like, "Oh, I fucking totally forgot that was fucking Wednesday, dude. Oh, man. I totally would have been there if it wasn't like 8:30 in the morning. Oh,
my life depends on this, man. Can you just please show up? Please, God."
Yeah, dude. Totally. Absolutely, man. Yeah. What day is it again?
Wednesday, 8:30.
Can you resend me the email?
Oh, God. I'm going to die.
Yeah, it wasn't actual 12. You didn't have to get all 12. You just had to get the majority of 12 to say you were a good dude. But if you couldn't get 12 people or the majority of 12 people to say like you're a good dude and not a witch, then that was seen as proof of guilt.
So the 21 people that died were just lonely? They just didn't have enough friends to live? That is so sad.
That was the big drawback that they point out at the Sorcery Museum, is that in a justice system of this kind, unpopular people with bad reputations had very little chance of clearing their names.
Judge, I'd just like to point out I am an introvert. I don't have a lot of friends, Judge.
Well, that's why we punish the introverts, because we do not trust them, so always plotting, always thinking of schemes, going against the beautiful, wonderful, innocent extroverts.
You know what? This judge is onto something. Introverts are scary.
Well, as far as who carried out the sentences were carried out by an executioner, but at local courts, it was the sheriff's task to find suitable persons for the job, but fairly soon it became the custom to let minor criminals do the job in exchange for their own punishment.
That is literally the plot from Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
But hold on a second. So in exchange for their punishment, they just get to kill someone else?
They have to. I don't think they wanted to. Like in the case of Jon Jonsson Realmyr, more than 30 blows were necessary before his head came off because the edge of the axe wound up as if a rock was underneath it.
You gotta,
Jesus Christ,
get a knife sharpener, run it through a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very... Well, I also find it interesting that they truly did burn all of these people to death, where we actually... That's kind of a misnomer for our witch hunt, because we hung most witches.
Yes. And
instead
we,
of burning them.
Yeah, and the Icelanders burned their witches, which was a big deal because wood is not plentiful in that country.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot of it is like driftwood that they had to harvest from the sea.
Wouldn't you do it with like seal blubber?
No, they did it with driftwood.
That would make the, if it wasn't a human meal, the little seal blubber there, probably good.
So no seal blubber.
No seal blubber used to burn people, as far as I could tell.
Well, why would you use seal? Doesn't seal blubber just work in like candles and stuff? Because it doesn't burn that fast.
Shut up!
I thought that was the whole point of the blubber.
Well, do you want to hear some of the stories of the 21 that were executed?
You know we do, Papa Marcus. Yes, Papa Marcus, tell us about the execution.
No belt zone. No belt zone with Papa Marcus is a good new video for yourself to start.
Well, in 1654, Egil Bjarnason was burnt in Trekelstjevik, Strandir, after confessing that he had killed a sheep with magic and made a contract with the devil.
What if it was just a hammer that he called magic?
Yeah, it could be. Was this confession unsolicited?
They don't really talk a lot about how the confessions were extracted, but it does not sound like they put them through a lot of torture to get the confessions, because there were quite a few people who went to the stake still screaming, "See my innocence! See my innocence!" But there was one dude named Haldor Finnbogason, who was burnt at Thingvellir, who recited "Our Father who art in hell" all throughout his trials.
Yeah, he fucking did! That's what you fucking gotta do! If you're already going to the fucking stakes, it's fucking die with your boots on, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to live, bro.
That is so interesting. He's like, do you ever watch The Last Waltz, the band mm-hmm. The Last Waltz?
Yeah.
Henry, you've seen this, right? It's Martin Scorsese. It's amazing. They have that one Icelandic or Norwegian poet on there. Remember mm-hmm. that? And he says, he makes puns about the Lord's Prayer or something like that. Anyway,
Icelandic
that's very interesting.
Poet, The Last Waltz. Now I'm looking it up because I want to see what this is.
It's a horrible poem.
First thing that popped up is Icelandic band Samaras talk poetry and incest apps.
I don't know. Don't click on it, whatever it is. Never mind.
Well, in 1656, Jon Jonsson Jr. was burnt in Skutulsfjordur. Yeah, no, wait, that is Skutulsfjordur. It is an extremely difficult language. Because it's Germanic, since it's like more Germanic, it is like a bunch of words all put together, and you don't recognize half of the symbols. It's really fun to try to get around when you're in a car.
Cool.
Are they truly, like, because how insider is the culture of Iceland? Like, I want to know, like, is it kind of like truly homegrown? Were they that isolated with these folklore periods, or was there a lot of travel? Were there a lot of like trade coming in and out that they would kind of the certain like folklore and beliefs would leak?
From what I understand, from what I remember, I believe Iceland was founded in around like in the 900s of the AD, and they came from, I think, Norway because they didn't want to pay taxes, and they created the world's first and oldest parliament, the Althingy.
Interesting.
But a lot of their stuff is homegrown. I mean, it's very Norse influenced, of course. Like, they brought over all of the, you know, the Aesir and all that. I don't think there's a whole lot of mixing with other countries. It is pretty homegrown. But the witch trials in Iceland, those were kind of implanted from Germany, because a couple of guys went over to Germany, saw all the stuff that was going on with the witch trials there. And it's not a coincidence that most of the witch trials in Iceland happened in the 17th century, the same time that, you know, the devils were happening over in France, same time the stuff was happening in Germany. So that the witch hunts were actually imported from another country.
And very
excellent.
Yes, very in vogue across the world. The guy I was thinking of with the bands of The Last Waltz, Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And he performed The Last Prayer.
Yeah, Lawrence Ferlinghetti. He's not Icelandic.
I don't know what he is.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
I believe he was a beat poet, right?
I don't know.
Yes.
He has white hair. I'm just like,
I think he's
like,
from Brooklyn.
I don't know where he's from. Looks Icelandic. I might be thinking of another guy as well. There's a lot. There's one. There's like hoity toity shorty. There's another one of those guys, and I forget where that is. Maybe that's not in The Last Waltz. I don't know.
I'm really mad about this prayer. This is like, yeah, this is nothing even Icelandic or anything about it. It's just a fucking prayer to God.
Yeah.
You just did this thing, Kissel.
No,
you made
not.
Me read this. And now I'm looking at this thing. I'm looking at Lawrence Ferlinghetti, an incredible beat poet. I actually do like a lot of his work, but I don't want to fucking deal with any of this fucking Jesus Christ bullshit.
No, it's not that. First of all,
let's get back to Icelandic sorcery.
All right.
Jon Jonsson admitted to having used magical signs and, among other things, having used farting runes against a girl.
What do you mean?
Farting runes.
What's a farting rune?
It's called a fretrunir.
So it made her fart?
I think he farted on her.
We've farting has been used as a weapon for a long, long time.
It really has. Yes, the mystical farting runes of Iceland.
But now,
don't bring it up around Marcus because he gets sensitive. Like last time when we started talking about someone who was the target of a bunch of farts.
Yeah, I flipped it and reversed it. Farts are now the funniest thing. One of the funniest things in the world to me. I'm not fucking traumatized by farts or anything like that. I'm just saying those of us in the world get farted on. You know, we're a minority that deserves representation.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. So what did this mean then? So he was simply a sorcerer or a witch because he farted near a girl or a woman or something?
Well, farting runes.
I don't know if you need a rune just to fart on somebody.
I don't
think
know.
That you can just do that.
Well, here's a actually, farting runes are much more intense than you might think.
Okay.
Farting runes are used to afflict your belly with great shitting and shooting pains, and all these may afflict your belly with very great farting. May your bones split asunder. May your guts burst. May your farting never stop, neither day nor night.
Oh, no.
May you become as weak as the fiend Loki, who was snared by all the gods.
Oh,
so that's a farting rune.
Interesting.
That's awesome. So really does. It is used on somebody else.
Yeah.
He wanted to make, wow, this sounds like there's a lot of wires crossed here. He was just trying to make, a chick super farty.
Yeah.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. This seems like a really bizarre new addition to Marvel's Endgame when Loki somehow helps a woman fart or makes a woman fart through the second half of the film.
And that was his Endgame altogether, so he can stand underneath her and collect the farts in his mouth like it's a Pittsburgh platter.
Well, in 1671, Sigurdur Jonsson was burnt in Thingvellir after a trial in damn it, that's a hard one.
One's going to be upset by this. No one's going to be upset.
It is a small country. But anyways, he admitted, among other things, that he had fought a ghost and frightened it off with the help of herbs and semen.
Yeah, that's just like that Don Knotts movie. What is it? Mr. Chicken and some ghost or something like that? What's the name of that movie? Mr. Chicken and the Ghost?
Mr. Chicken and the Ghost.
I swear to God.
I remember that whole movie.
Mr. Chicken and the Ghost is a movie.
This
one of your fucking stroke movies?
No, this is not Mr. Chicken.
It's an old stag film where it's just him fucking a chicken with Bob Hope stroking it in the corner being like, they're gonna name an airport after me.
We actually have to apologize here. Don Knotts was in a movie called The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Yes, he's Mr. Chicken. I know Don Knotts. It was one of the only things my parents let me watch.
Yep, he starred as Luther Heggs, a newspaper typesetter who spends a night in a haunted house.
Thank you.
So my question is, they caught him trying to ward off a ghost using semen and spices?
Well, that was one of the things that he did, but he admitted to doing that and various other things. He probably got caught with like grimoire pages and things like that, which getting caught with grimoire pages in Iceland at that time was a capital offense.
What do we got with these grimoire pages? What are we talking here?
Grimoires are magical books of spells and such, spells and rituals and all that.
And now you can just buy them on fucking Amazon. Yeah. I want to say, again, and we covered this a little bit, not this time, I forgot the last time we did a whole thing about which is getting burned. But we are in a golden age of being able to just say you're a witch.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I can go and be a Satanist openly, like I learned a little bit of that from the Hail Satan documentary. I'm the only one who got to watch it. I wish that you guys could watch it so we could talk about it. But I watched it and I loved it. But it is like this liberating thing to understand this is the only era of humankind where I can stand up and say, I worship the devil, and there's no two police officers to come take me to the stocks and then flog me and then burn me at the stake.
But you know what? I almost think that that's worse. Because it's fun. Now everyone's a witch. Everyone's a witch. Everyone's a Satanist. And it used to be fun when it was like, ooh, edgy, risque. And now
it's very... We can't be like the people that got mad when Modest Mouse made good news for people who love bad news.
Which
we
is
can't
still a good
be
album.
Like that.
It's a great album. What are you talking about? Who was mad about
we
that?
We can't be mad about mainstream success of the things we enjoy. Like, this is where they're supposed to go. They catch on. These ideas catch on, and that's what causes a fire. Eventually, it will be shut down again. We are in the middle of a very Lawrence Welk period. This is a very conservative period for society, which is why it is like this.
I don't know. But I will say that was one of the best Modest Mouse albums. And the only band that I ever would agree with that sort of changed a little bit, Green Day. I thought Geek Stink Breath was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then they did get a little bit too, I don't know. They went and they had some meetings.
Yeah.
And they were like, you need to have some slow songs. And it was like, but I still like Green Day.
Yeah, yeah. I still like Green Day. Yeah, the first few albums are still, you know, pretty fun.
Pretty great.
So, yeah, still pretty great.
I'll rock to some Dookie.
You want to know how to, you know, you want to know how to raise the dead?
I actually would like to do this. But the question is, do you raise them back into their full form or do you just raise up a skeleton that has a bunch of meat dripping off of it?
You raise up a draugr. So you're essentially raising a corpse to do mischief against your foes.
Like a golem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but a golem is like you're making
You're constructing it.
This is raising the dead to do your bidding.
Okay.
Well, that's what's about, because that's also voodoo. Does that too,
mm-hmm.
Voodoo, and then so does fucking just straight up necromancy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Listen to this.
Okay.
This sign you should carve on oak and then color it with blood. The blood must be from the big toe of your right foot and the thumb of your left hand. Lay the sign on the grave and then walk 3 times clockwise and 3 times anti-clockwise around the church. 3 spurts of earth will then spew from the grave, and at the last one, the sorcerer must be prepared to receive the dead. Grab the ghost by his neck and squeeze until he asks for lenience. Only then should the ghost be prepared for the tasks in hand. If these be great and many, more preparation is needed, and more than one sorcerer.
Yes!
Yeah, so if you need the if you need the ghost to go and kill someone,
right,
you're gonna need a couple of sorcerers.
You want a couple of sorcerers there, and no matter what, you're getting good exercise. Those churches are huge, so you got to walk 3 times around and 3 times around again.
This is, I think, that's a point that is missing in a lot of modern day witchcraft. I think it's important. If you want to be a witch, you should also be doing strength training. And this is not even a bit. It's not even a bit. As a sorcerer, like this is what it shows: is that sorcery, as far as I'm concerned, is both a mental and physical discipline. Like, you need to be able to have total control over your body, which is why Aleister Crowley brought yoga into the mix, being like, you need to be being able to, you have to connect your mind to your body to be one singular force. So I like the idea of, not only do you have to bring about, like, you do the spell, you do an actual physical thing where you hurt yourself in order to gain the magic back. Like, you hurt yourself to pay the magic bill, and then when the dead rise, you gotta fucking wrestle it to the ground for it to do what you gotta do. It's like how you hire a personal assistant.
Is there is there any witchcraft Amex card? Can I not do
you,
the,
you want
the
miles?
I just want to not do the bleeding.
No.
I don't want to be the limping all over the place.
There's no shortcuts.
No shortcuts. All right. Well, that's why I'll stick to Diamond Dallas Page yoga, DP yoga, which I have started to do.
In what way have you started to do the DDP yoga?
I watched some videos on YouTube.
Yes, I figured so.
Yes, indeed.
I did!
Well, if you want another kind of helper, there is a creature that you can create known as the Tilbury. To acquire a Til... And this is something that only a woman can do.
Mm.
To acquire a Tilbury, the woman has to steal a human rib from a churchyard in the early hours of Whitsunday, wrap it in gray wool, and keep it between her breasts. The next 3 times she takes Holy Communion, she must spit the sacrament wine over the bundle carried between her breast. The third spurt of holy wine will bring the Tilbury to life from the human rib. When it grows larger and the mother can no longer conceal it in her bosom, she must cut loose a piece of skin on the inside of her thigh and make a nipple which the Tilbury will hang onto and draw nourishment from her body fluids. When the creature gets big enough, the mother orders him to steal milk from other farmers. He then runs out and moves very fast over the fields and steals milk from sheep and cows and delivers it into the mother's churn. The mother then makes butter out of it, so-called Tilbarastmur.
Okay.
Yeah. And when the mother gets older and the Tilbury becomes too big a burden for her, because it's like a long worm-like animal with the face of a baby, it's terrifying. They have a representation of it in the Icelandic Museum of Witchcraft. They have a couple of them in there that an artist has made. An artist went into the Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft and made some really fantastic representations of some of these items. And the Tilbury in particular is wonderful.
Okay.
But when the Tilbury becomes becomes too big a burden and she can no longer tolerate his sucking of the thigh nipple, she has to order him to gather all the lamb shit in three counties. And since there are so many sheep in Iceland, this will cause the Tilbury to burst of exhaustion because he's constantly in a hurry to get back to his nipple.
Sounds like it's... It really sounds like the last 8 hours of Red Dead Redemption when you just basically have to do exactly that for no freaking reason whatsoever.
It's all. It's like with the Okachi birds. What was that in Final Fantasy VII where you have to go and you have to fucking raise all the birds to get the eggs to go and get the Super Saiyan bullshit?
So
you know what I'm talking about?
I never played that one,
yeah,
but
I never played seven.
I do understand the meticulous duties that many of these games require you to do. And I would say I don't want to be a farmer in real life. I just want to shoot someone. Mm-hmm. But anyway, sometimes
like all that stuff. It's like same thing with Skyrim where you have to like spend several hours learning how to be a blacksmith. That's when I stopped playing those games because I don't have the patience for it.
I don't know. The smithing is one of my favorite parts of Skyrim, though. I love the smithing.
See, this is why it's designed for specific people.
Yeah. Very, very much so.
Okay.
But of course, like the most famous item at the Icelandic Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft is the necropants.
What are the necropants?
The necropants, is that where Mayhem goes to shop? That's a really fun, super, super evil clothing store. It's like a new Torrid.
Just going back to that last story a little bit, do you think it was written down by someone wearing no pants? Because it seems very sexual. Are all of these things just secret porno?
I don't think so.
Couldn't have like the penthouse forums?
It has more to do with, you know, where does life come from? That's where a lot of the nipple stuff comes from. It's like, where does life come from? Where is the first place that we all suckle? That would be mother's teat.
On her thigh. No.
I've been rereading Prometheus Rising, and Robert Anton Wilson has a whole breakdown of breasts and what it means, what breasts mean to society, and it's pretty great. They have like a whole, like he has a whole section being like, I'd love to hear every mountaineer explain why they have to climb every conical mountain by saying, because it was there. Because he's basically saying every mountain's a giant tit, and every mountaineer just wants to get to the nipple.
Honey, don't bother me right now. I'm writing my chapter on boobs. Okay.
Have you read any Robert Anton Wilson? Both of you. I assume, Marcus, you have.
Yeah.
No, I like the documentaries.
You like the Reader's Digest.
My dad submitted something to Reader's Digest.
Did you get in?
Rejected.
Well, the necropants, the most famous thing at the Icelandic Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft, makes its way around the internet every once in a while. I mean, it's based on a legend. What the legend says is that here's where necropants come from. Because a lot of Icelandic sorcery actually has to do with getting money. Because back then, there were a couple of lords up at the top, and then everyone else was poor as shit. And you couldn't work your way up. It wasn't like a meritocracy where you could eventually work your way up. It's like when you were at the bottom, you fucking stayed at the bottom.
I am just so happy that you said back then, Marcus, as opposed to exactly where we're living now.
Well, what necropants did is they got you money. Oh. So how you got necropants? Here's how you made necropants. Is it right before a friend of yours died, you had to ask him permission to use his skin. If he says yes, after he dies, you dig him up and you flay the skin from the waist down, including the dick and balls.
If I skinned Henry from the waist down, including the dick and balls, I'd look like the Incredible Hulk with a tiny dick hanging out. I would look like he's like wearing his shorts. Yeah. It would go just above my kneecap.
Yes,
it would just be like little bike shorts. Super, super stretched out on your knees.
Yeah, so you're not going to ask Henry. You're going to ask like your brother. Someone who is of similar size to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wear, it's like I can't go and have Kissel fucking, I can't skin Kissel because it looks like I'm wearing a big pile of ginger overalls.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to go to some bizarre person, maybe like the Sawyer family from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, ask to get your fucking human legs hemmed, your human pants hemmed.
Yeah.
And maybe that could work out.
Maybe.
I mean, I would definitely go bigger over smaller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course you go bigger over smaller. Yeah, you take them in. So after you dig them up, you flay them, you make pants out of the skin, the legs and, you know, the dick and balls. But the balls are the most important part. Dick, not so much. But the balls, you have to have the balls hanging there.
Why?
So you put, let me get to it.
Okay.
So you put the pants on, you put the necro pants on, and then they become a part of you. But you also have a second scrotum. And then once they become a part of you, you take a coin and insert the coin into the scrotum. And then from that day forth, whenever you need money, you simply reach into the scrotum and pull out a coin.
It's a fanny pack. It's a fanny pack made of balls.
A fanny pack made of balls that holds infinite coins.
Okay.
See? Yeah. Then it's worth it.
So just cut to you at the video game arcade, just digging in your crotch to get another coin out as the cops take you away. Be like, no, that's where I keep my money.
Listen, X-Men on me, kids. Just let me... He's like reaching into my fucking... and severed ball bag to give them all quarters. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And the reason why, I love this, the reason why the witchcraft trials ended in Iceland is because it just got too cold. They had a series of really difficult winters.
Wow.
And so everyone just kind of said, I don't fucking care about witchcraft anymore. I don't fucking care about witchcraft anymore. Just fucking stay inside.
That is... honestly, saved by the weather.
Yeah.
Saved by the cold
weather. Saved by the weather. So if you guys want to learn more about this, because I just scratched the surface on Icelandic sorcery here and what you can see at the Icelandic sorcery. And they're not paying me. I just want people to go. I just want people to go.
No,
to
you
thing.
Should go. Yeah. We did the same thing with the Crypto Museum in Portland, Maine.
Yeah, go on up there. Be careful when you're driving, though. There's no shit. That's what my buddy told me. There's no shame in turning back when you're driving in Iceland. You can download an app that tells you which roads are passable and which ones aren't.
Wait,
and
why don't they just make better roads? And I'm not even being rude.
No, the roads are fantastic. The roads themselves are fantastic and extremely well, except for when you get on the gravel roads over on the sides. Some of the gravel roads are, you know, that's a little dicey, especially when, you know, you're driving off of like a fucking 60-foot cliff.
Oh, yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it is horrifying.
Well, do they not drive a lot of pickups over there?
Yeah, I mean, most people have like SUVs and stuff like that. But some, like there, we were driving up through some mountains and, a snowstorm had started on top of the mountain and was blowing snow down in a drift. And it really was, it was like someone had drawn a line between there is snow to the right, but there's no snow to the left. And as soon as I was like, yeah, I can handle this. I can try this out. We had driven through some like tundra stuff earlier that was a little dicey, but we made it through. Mm-hmm. And I got about 10 feet in and just said, I have lost my confidence.
Yep.
And then put it in reverse like, nope, we got to go back. We got to go take the long way around. So when you're driving in Iceland, especially, you know, the winter months, or because we went in like late March, like going up to Holmavik, like it can get very dangerous. So be careful when you go up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get up there, like you really do feel like not necessarily that, you know, sorcery is real, but you know that people believed that sorcery was real.
Cool.
That it wasn't like a, you know, so like I said earlier, it wasn't like in, you know, Western Europe where, you know, you feel like people were just using it for their own gain. Mm-hmm. Of course, people did use it for their own gain in Iceland as well. But, you know, you feel that it has a presence there that it doesn't have anywhere else that I've been.
Cool. All right.
I miss places of presence. There's something about that that is really wonderful. There was like a thing that we ate, like Natalie and I on our honeymoon, we had this one dinner outside, right? We had a private dinner outside and we were in front of the pink moon that was rising. It was the rose moon, whatever called the plush moon, I forget, something like that. It rose and the moon was completely pink. And we had this like moment where it was like, we're literally eating dinner with the moon. You feel this because it's like, mm-hmm, an actual like spot of nature where it's like, wow, you could see why when ancient man was here and they were on these beaches and they would come to these beaches and see this thing that was essentially an entity. They had no clue what the moon really was yet. And they see this thing rise and you could feel this moment of, oh, this is what it means to be attuned to the heavens. Mm-hmm. This is what presence is. You could sit and watch it. I love that fucking bullshit.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The West Fjords of Iceland, if you go like right around like end of May, beginning of April, yeah, you'll really, like, you still get, it's not completely overblown in snow, but you still get enough snow where you really feel like that
isolation that really makes you feel good.
All right, there it is. I always like to go camping when I to feel in tune with nature. That does work. It's very. You got to do it.
You got to do it.
We're not campers.
If you are, you're not a camper.
We are. Yeah,
I like the camping. Yeah. I love camping. It's one of my favorite things to do. And if you do, if you haven't broken your brain as many times as most of us here on this show have, take a bit of a nice mushroom, go camping. And you'll have yourself in a magical evening staring at the stars and getting in touch with nature.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, very cool. Very fun indeed. Is there anything else that we want to cover here today?
I think that's all we got.
Okay.
I think we did it. I think we landed her in the harbor. Another beautiful, relaxed fit. Last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
I feel my knees have a lot of room in these content jeans we've created. And I am ready to sully forth into the world.
So, Henry, it's your birthday weekend. I see you're wearing your pumpkin head shirt. That's what all 35, because yes. He's 35 now, Marcus. So he's an adult, finally.
I like, I can choose to dress like an 11-year-old that made money.
I love it. No, I actually love pumpkin head. And I think, aren't they going to remake pumpkin head? They've been talking about doing a pumpkin head.
No, that's my pitch. I want them to remake pumpkin head. I have several ideas for a remake of Pumpkinhead.
I love Pumpkinhead, but what are your big plans for the weekend? Anything?
I'm gonna sit.
You're gonna sit.
I'm gonna sit.
The whole weekend, you're just gonna sit.
I bought a bunch of new weed, and I'm gonna let that entertain me. I have to clean my house, Kissel. This is the 35-year-old stuff like this. I have a house full, like, there's like, we have one spare room in the apartment that I'm trying to turn into my library,
uh-huh.
And it's taken time
because
we haven't been home. Yeah, it's not exciting. There's no plans that I'm going to say that are that exciting. We just went on our honeymoon. I can't spend any more money.
You're not going to go to Applebee's, go to Buffalo Wild Wings, anything like that?
I don't know. I'm hoping for a block of hours of silence.
Okay, all right.
Is that most people want for their birthdays once you get in your mid-30s?
I think usually that is required. You're required to have children just to be like, I just want 3 hours of silence. And then people are like, we get it. You have kids. But you just, I don't know. But yeah.
I have kids. I have me.
I'm like my own child. That's very, very true. All right. Well, happy birthday, Henry Zebrowski.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Parks?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Let's see. So Salt Lake City and Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get butts in those seats, folks. So come on out and hang out with us.
Yeah. Honestly, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a fun show.
Let them know. So we'll see. We'll see you all there. Thanks all so much for giving to our Patreon. We absolutely love it. Without you, we don't got no show.
Ain't got none.
No.
We ain't got no show.
We got no show.
Keep on supporting all the shows here on the Last Podcast Network. And yeah, I guess that's about it. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Elgin.
Magustalations.
Go and watch a Hail Satan documentary. Try to give some money to the TSD. I like them. I like the cut of their jib.
Okay.
Hail me as well, before you hail them, because it's my birthday.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.